So it looks like I got the graveyard slot. Everyone has to sit up, pay attention. If I have to do this, you do too. Okay. It's only half an hour more. I know it's been a long, long week for everyone at the book fair, but so when I was asked to speak, I said, well, you know, what do you want me to say about e-books? It's all been said, right? My purpose today is to try and round off the day and really carrying on from Caroline's experience, really, in terms of what is an e-book? And when is an e-book not a print book? And where does print-on-demand fit? And what are the things that people are using to their advantage? What are the technologies they're using to really start to eke out some sales? Because ultimately, in a difficult market, that's what we're here to do. So I'm not telling you anything you don't know here, but it isn't going to get any easier. I think the thing that I took away from the session before lunch was we haven't seen the start yet of the cuts that librarians are going to make, and there have been many threats in the past, but we're not going to have an easy ride of it. And maybe this is a good thing for the industry, and it'll increase competition, it'll increase the quality of the publishing, but at the same time, it's a pretty scary time when the cost of transition in a marketplace traditionally increase over that transition. When you get out the other side, if it's all entirely maybe it'll be cheaper, maybe it'll be the same, and there are lots of debates on the listservs. But we have an economic downturn just at the same time as many of the publishers and publisher partners are looking to do some significant increases in their investments around their content. Other trends? We're seeing global and international solutions as being more important. In an audience like this, most of you have got global rights, looking back to what Richard was talking about. But I fess up now that I was literally emailing with my BlackBerry as Richard was talking to a member of his organization to say, I'm really sorry, I know you've got this great ebook. I know you want it out on Stanza, but you do not have US rights, and the way that territoriality works, that book's not going to be able to be sold. So I felt that was fairly ironic that that was the same organization. But it's also an indication, I think, of we expect globalization, and for those who are purely STM, that's a great place to be. But for other smaller publishers or publishers with a more broad publishing portfolio, the challenges of the channels will continue to be there for a while. Green concerns come through. I mean, it feels a bit strange thinking we're going to have no money and now we've got to worry about green. But that is another pressure that is starting to come through. In terms of people's decision-making. And not just green, but also space considerations. If the librarians were here, they'd be telling you about the 200 kilometres of space that they are going to have to invest in the UK alone if they continue to buy print at the rate that they have been buying. And that's not just journals. At the same time, the market's getting really interesting. The trade publishing industry and the retail industry that has supported you in your book sales in the print sense has existed for many, many years, and we all know how it works. And it's a great diagram from Caroline, I thought, showing how disintermediated one can be from one's customers. Those retailers are now moving very rapidly to start to provide e. And in that I mean e-downloads in the various formats. But we're not now just talking about a library package market as an opportunity for a publisher should they choose to take it. Web 2.0, viral marketing, blogging, you name it. People seem to have quietened down a little bit about Web 2.0, but really that collaborative nature around books. The other thing I've heard all through today is note-taking. And for us at Ingram Digital, we would talk about sharing notes as well in some of our platforms, because that's really what people are talking about. It isn't good enough for me just to view the content. I need to take it with me. Caroline was saying they've got unlimited downloads. And it's very similar to the Springer model. Other publishers feel more strongly about that and are really very unhappy if anything more than what would be described as fair use is downloaded or printed. And that is a disjoint between customer expectations and what a publisher is prepared to do in terms of their risk profile towards piracy or misuse. We all know we live in a 24/7, 365, whatever world, but one of the things that came out of the JISC Observatory project was it's not just the peaks and spikes, but it's the strange times, well, normal times, that people want to look at content. People don't want to look at content just in work days. They want to have it with them all the time. That's what books do in print, I thought. So an e-book or whatever it is, that blob of content that you want to use has to be able to be available when I want it, or else I'm bored. I don't want to click twice, as Jill was saying, to get through the access control. And I said, actually, I don't even want to see it. I just want it here, now, on the devices I want, and I don't want my handbag to weigh 10 kilos. Personally, it just weighs that anyway. It really doesn't need anything else in there. There are worldwide opportunities in this global market, but there are also challenges that have always existed in terms of people's ability to pay and people's recognition of copyright. I'm not going to go there in terms of copyright laws, but it is well known that that is a problem for us. And then there's all sorts of problems around optimizing your content. We had a lot of people talking about to PDF or not, to XML or not, and a lot of discussion about the devices that you can use. How odd to talk about a device when you talk about a book, but that's where we are today. So things are changing very rapidly, and at the same time, publishers are in a difficult market, and they're having to really move very rapidly to understand their users and get close to the users. And that's something that I think publishers always prided themselves they really understood, but maybe they understood what the bookseller understood and didn't always get as close as they needed to really invigorate their program. So I know they always say the customer's king, but I'm not sure anyone really believed it for a while. The audience is fragmented. I think there was some debate as who is the Google generation. Anyone and anybody of any age might be accessing your content at any one time. I don't expect to pay for a big chunk, necessarily. I might ask someone as my proxy to do that, but I don't personally expect to pay. And I only want the bits I want. So I don't care if chapter 3 and 5 are wonderful. I just want this bit now. And that's shown in the usage of people dipping in and out of the aggregations. But it's also shown in the way that people are starting to say, well, can't I just buy the chapter? Clearly in a novel, that doesn't work so well. But in a management book, yeah, that would work. I just want that little bit. I want it on my iPhone now. I may not want to read the whole thing. I might want to mash up the time management bit with customer demand and centrics. I might want my own book. And certainly Safari is able to do that and then offer it as print on demand or as an ebook. Okay. I'm not going to go into these numbers because you had them this morning. Or it could be a test. Are you awake? Did you see these numbers before? Are they the same? Am I dyslexic? Did I type the wrong numbers? Possibly. But they are the same numbers. I promise you that. So that's from the outsell. I must give the provenance. That's from the outsell work that was done. I think what's interesting here is there is continued growth projected. It's not all bad and gloom. We're going to leave here and be upbeat. But changes need disruption. Who is older than me? Possibly not very many people in this room. Janice is. Janice, you remember desktop publishing? Who remembers CRC? Who remembers asking authors to draw their own diagrams? Yes, that was sad. And then they couldn't label them for toffee, and then you'd have to do it yourself anyway. Yeah. Okay, so that was disruptive. How fantastic was that when that went away? Maybe it hasn't gone away for everyone, but it really did. Digital printing. The digital print decision, Caroline was talking about print on demand. We had Brian talking as well about Springer. Print on demand is now accessing that middle land of where shall I put something out of print or shall I reprint it? When I started work as a publisher, not too long ago, there was a person whose job it was to manage the reprints. And he would come, talk about his dahlias, and then we would go through the printout, the Vista printout with the holes down the side, and make a guess as to whether we should reprint or not. We were as accurate as any spreadsheet I've used ever since. But that gives you a sense of how big that decision was, that it could be somebody's whole job. Now you just think, well, it would be great to have everything. And we want downloadable content. A lot of the discussion today I found very interesting because I come from a company that is focused on providing solutions across a broad range of publishers. So I would have as many conversations with a big trade publisher as I would with a publisher such as OUP. Of course, in the trade, they're more focused on downloads. But the aggregated model is the one that we really have been talking about for much of the discussion today. Yes, they're all here, and more will come, and they all work in different ways. The iPhone. Everyone's talked about this, but I think this is something that I still find publishers are quite shocked by, that they assume that everything will be on a reader, or even lecturers. A number of colleges who come, the academics get very excited about the e-reader and say, so I want all this stuff that the library has bought on my e-reader. I heard that, I think, from you today. Well, unless you're going to XML, which will make a few people at the back very happy, and that might be the right decision for you, that isn't necessarily going to work very well as a user experience. So we have some disjoints. Students do have devices. You get a really good student discount in the UK on an iPod Touch. It's not even 5 pints of beer. They have it in their pocket. They don't necessarily want to access our content on it. That's a different question. But they definitely have content there, and that's where they go to look. Over 800 million apps have now been downloaded from the App Store. Probably they're not necessarily to do with the content we're talking about in STM. But they're very useful, and people are becoming more and more hooked on this kind of device, a central place for information. And essentially, that's what is being provided today by STM publishers, is information about what I need to do my job better, faster, smarter, or to become a better, faster, smarter person. So to ignore these downloads and to think, well, I'm just going to have online, maybe through an aggregator, maybe on my own platform, maybe both, whatever it is you choose to do, may or may not be the best strategy. We should always go where your customers are. I have never believed that if you build it, they will come. That's never been my experience, sadly. And I have built plenty, and they really, some of them came, not many came. But then it gets complicated. And my experience of ebooks, I've been in ebooks for, 4 years now. I was involved at the British Library in the mass digitization with Microsoft. And then I recently moved to England. I find a lot of people talk a lot of complicated nonsense about the formats, and that it's very easy to be bamboozled and not to think about the decisions you need to make. But the challenge is, it is quite complicated because there's no standard format. It's an emerging market, and the channels are not as mature as they might be. I would say, and you might disagree with me, but I would say the library channels are fairly mature. They understand how to buy this content. They have an understanding of how to come together in buying clubs or in consortia. And there is an understanding about how the multiples might work. And some of that is really down to the work of publishers like Springer, with Elsevier, with their packages leading the way, and also the work of OCLC, LetNet Library, ourselves, My Eye Library, Ebury, in really educating the market about that kind of opportunity. But as the various devices proliferate, we're going to have to start to think about different models. We're in what I term vanilla ice cream phase. They are going to want tutti frutti, stracciatella, with the cherry on top, with the cream. They may or may not want to pay for that. We are going to need to answer to every need that they have and to have content that can be repurposed into those channels and markets as the opportunity comes. But the challenge is those channels aren't quite yet ready in all of the cases yet. And the investment for any publisher is not insignificant at a time of perhaps some economic downturn, particularly in the journals market, that might have given you the cash up front to do so. So what are we dealing with? Content. Business models. Can we repurpose our content? What do our customers want? I don't think they ever know what they want. They just know when they see it that is the thing. Nobody could have predicted iTunes. Really, very easily. And yet, that's where everyone wants to go. None of us can ignore it. Okay, not everyone can be Google. If you had aspirations, that's great, off you go. But it's quite a challenge in the market. You saw the statistics from Caroline. You know, they call it the £600 gorilla or whatever, and you've all been at the STM meetings. For me, that's great because it's a big channel for a publisher. But it's also not so great because of the dominance of the market and the dynamics that creates. I always find it interesting that those who badmouth a very large Dutch publisher, yes, you in the corner, and say, you know, how terrible it is and market dominance, when you ask them where they buy their books or where they do their search, you know where they go. So it is interesting to me. In-house versus outsourcing debate, those debates run long and hard. I'm not even going to go there. You need to decide where it is you want to go and what makes the most sense for you. Do you need the knowledge and the IP in-house, or do you need to get somebody onto it quick who knows what they're doing? How long am I going to be on this road? And then getting close to the end user, maybe not within handshake, but getting closer. And that's really what Richard said. And I think that's always been true, but I think it's always been quite difficult in the book market to do it. I remember running book trade reps for many years and trying to get them then to sell probably in the days when we believed in CD-ROMs. I hold my hand up. And they found it very difficult because actually what they were used to doing was selling to someone who wanted to buy. A bookshop has to have books, right? You can't have empty shelves. So it's a matter of how much space can I have? When you sell e, they don't have to buy. And that's a big shift. And that's getting closer to the customer, but it's also accepting that it isn't an easy sale all the time. Very often when I talk to publishers, they say, right, I've decided to go e. And I then say, not P at all, ever. And actually, you can do it all at the same time. I think that was illustrated both by Springer and by Royal Society of Chemistry. Once you have stuff that's digital, you can start making choices about where you think your opportunities lie. And I think that's really very exciting. Ingram, of course, is big, huge. You saw our large stand. And we do partner with all of the major publishers. There's always a choice. I'm the first to say this. But what is really interesting to me going forwards now is the way that the conversations are starting to come together. So you can have a downloadable ebook, you can have chapters if you've broken up your content into chapters, and your customers want to buy chapters, and you have enough different chapters to make it worth their while. It isn't much good having three books with chapters and the rest not. This is not a very compelling customer experience. Multiple formats. At the moment, customers are not in a position where they can take content and then reuse it through devices, but that time is almost upon us. And mobile devices. So actually, why not give your customers a choice? How do you want it? Do you want the book? Do you want to go online? Do you want to view it online? Do you want to download it? Do you want it in your pocket? How do you want it? And so the pieces come together. It's a great graphic, isn't it? You can tell we've got a great marketing department. It's not me. Anyone who's seen me speak before knows that's not me. But you can have print. Print on demand, E, a different E, some other E versions, some new models. I certainly didn't do this. So, winners and losers. This is my prediction. You can shoot me down next year, I'll be wrong, but I don't think I am. If you focus on an XML-based format like EPUB and PDF, from what I've heard today as well, then you're going to answer your customers' needs now and in the future. You're going to be able to repurpose your content when you need to, but you'll also be able to provide it in the format they are most comfortable with at this time. Go for your historical info. If you haven't already digitized, see how you can do it. There is definitely money in that long tail. But I bet the books that they bought, Caroline, were not the books you would have predicted.
They were books we've written.
Yeah.
And
there are really smart people in the organisation who've probably read those books and know what they're like. You know, it's not like me looking at it. So it's very hard to know when you have a list of books which ones are the ones that customers want. But it's also quite a challenge to get it all out there in front of them. The number of publishers, not STM publishers, who are very open-minded and always take a broad view, but other publishers who say, oh, well, I'll leave it till next year. Or I'll just go to Kindle, so I'll do maybe Pocket. Are locking themselves down as if you say, I'm just going to deal with one chain of booksellers in the UK. I've decided that's what I'm going to do. Now, it's not a bad decision given the percentages of the market that that organisation has, but it doesn't give you a global presence in a lot of the markets. Amazon doesn't exist in the Netherlands. It doesn't help you get out there. And you've invested your money in converting to a format that is locked down. It gives you no options to play with, even with the new options coming through. Martin, I think, was questioning about the widgetization of content. What a great term that is. That's brilliant. I'm going to use that again. So, widgetize your content. What is the point of a bookshop? All of you go into bookshops. What do you do when you go in there? Come on, what do you do? Wake up.
Browse.
Do you just go and say, I want that book there with the spine up? You don't do that, do you? You don't say, oh, here's a list of the books they have in my bookshop. I like that one in the middle. That looks good. That looks just the thing for me. You don't. You look inside. You play with it. Why not do that here? Search and discover. Yes, there's Google. There are other programs. Each of your channels needs to be able to see your book. Maybe it's a sample chapter. I think somebody was talking about sample chapter at the front, so there's one chapter able to be viewed. Or maybe I can preview in a widget environment. Maybe it's on my website. It doesn't matter what you're doing. But how will they know to buy it if it's just a bibliographic information? You could stay and keep it traditional. That would be great. But as the market moves on, the opportunities may narrow. I mean, I'm not saying this is not first mover time. This is go with the crowd time. Play. What I heard today, another word that I heard was experiment. It might go wrong. It doesn't seem to have gone very wrong. What's the worst that can happen? You end up with a digital repository you could repurpose in a different way. The upside is you might be able to provide content in all the different formats your customers want. Or you could just ignore it. And for some publishers, that might make sense. But even, I talk to publishers who say to me, so how will this manga novel look on an iPhone? I've never been asked that before. Quite good is my answer. Actually, it'll look great. But the challenge then for them, if you think about your page layouts being a challenge, the challenge for them is to get the way that that book is laid out into a format for a mobile device. And that isn't just a matter of can I reflow the text or move things around. It's there is a large illustration, and the story that is conveyed through this illustration is in the peripheral travelling through the cartoon-like images. And you might think that's nothing to do with me, but that has everything to do with a VLE. Jill was talking about those innovative VLEs. If you want to get your content available and interesting, you have to start thinking like a manga publisher. You have to think, how are they going to work through this? Because if they're starting to mash up that content, all your beautiful thoughts of this is an A head or a B head or whatever it is, may go out the window. They just want their nuggets and to pull them through. So I'm going to do some case histories. I do have permission to use these numbers. They're not very secret numbers. But I thought it'd be quite interesting just to look, in terms of working with a company like ourselves, what some of the publishers are doing in terms of managing those channels. So Ingram Book is, there are three major areas in Ingram, if you like. Ingram Book is the very large book wholesaler, offers direct marketing for publishers, pushes into the trade predominantly in the US. Lightning Source, you've heard of before, it's Lightning Source Print on Demand, and ourselves in Ingram Digital, and we very much emulate what is done with the physical Ingram Books in that we try and help push more books out into digital channels. So they've got 64,000 titles, so that's their physical inventory that's available there. They've gone, so about 12,000 are available print on demand. And that's the number of titles that were sold, so you don't know any numbers. You can probably work it out yourselves on an average number if you want. But they sold a lot of books, all on print on demand. We've got e-books, and when we say e-books, we mean downloadable. About 15,000 are downloadable, but a larger proportion are in My Library. And in fact, going forward, when we talk about downloadable, that's not just in, a lot of those are PDF. Some of them are in EPUB and available through Sony Connect, through our partnerships. And in fact, going forward, they're also going into Vital Source, which is our interactive textbook format that's used by Elsevier Science and Technology predominantly, McGraw-Hill, Pearson, and is very much in the swing of let's get integrated into an LMS system, let's help people share notes, give students the e-book on their desktop at this point, but potentially onto devices. Elsevier, this is Elsevier Science and Technology. They've really started to leverage what they do. So their website is powered by us. We do the e-commerce on the back of that. That, if you go to it, you can search inside all of the books. There's a widget, so any author can take that widget, put it on their website, can send it to their students, to whatever they want. They have different rules of viewing on their site. You can see more of the book than you can when you send the widget out, which makes perfect sense to me. I would be more careful about viral marketing. They do a lot of print on demand out of a lower level of titles. And they have all of their inventory through Vital Source, ebook downloads, and My Library. I expect the inventory numbers they have with all of the other partners would be very similar. I'd like to wrap up really by saying it isn't just E or P plus E. It's just content. It's just stuff. And actually, our challenge is what it has always been. trying to get content to the markets that want it and make them pay for it, and make sure it's in the right size or format that they can digest it and put it into their workflows, if it's a study that's led by a lecturer, or if it's some high-powered piece of research where they're relying on the primary research and then wanting to use the books for backup or for review. There are plenty of strategies out there and use cases where people have really started to do this, but the companies that have started to embrace this and to look at their digital repository as just that are the ones that are really starting to push and dominate in some of the emerging channels for ebooks. Thank you.